We are joined right now by the head basketball coach at Michigan State. Incredibly, he just completed his 29th season in that capacity. His 706 career coaching wins is the second most by an active D1 coach, trailing only Mark Few. He has an NCAA championship. He's been to 8 Final Fours. He's won 10 Big Ten regular season championships, as well as 6 Big Ten tournament titles. He is an 8-time National Coach of the Year Award winner. He is a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. He is Tom Izzo. Tom, my man, it is great to have you back on the show. Tom, how are you?
Well, Jim, it's good to be back with you. I just left Irvin Johnson, and one of your guys from out in your area. He was speaking here, and I just left him. But that introduction made me sound so good. How come I don't feel that good?
Man, that's great. How do you feel?
It's as you know, in athletics right now and basketball, but basketball and football especially, it's a trying time. You know, I think everybody's a little confused on where do you go, where do you start, where do you finish. It's been something in the last probably 2 years. It's really turned 180, and I think everybody's trying to figure out how to navigate it. I will too, but it's different. It's been a little different.
You know, it really is different. Tom Izzo joining us. I would dovetail. In fact, I would follow you on that. Like, for instance, John Calipari, and we could talk about the coaching carousel, man. Tom, it's amazing the way that thing's spinning, and I would even say spinning backwards. But Cal made it pretty clear in saying, you know what, I still love doing this thing. I still love to coach. I still love to teach. I still love to lead. This is what I want to do. This is where I want to be. You know, he made it clear that that's what he's still all about. How about you? Where do you come out? It's really different right now, but do you still feel the same way about the job? And do you still have that same passion for all of it, given all these changes?
I love my job. I love the players. I love the practices. I love the games. I love my job. I'm really questioning our profession right now. That would be the best way I could put it. You know, I think we let some things go, whether it be the NCAA, whether it be the people talking about it. Everybody seems to be taking sides. I mean, you got to understand, for me, I'm pretty straightforward, as you know, like you are. That's why I've always enjoyed you. But, I've always hoped players can make more money, and we should have done more for them in some ways. I'm not big on the transfer portal. And I'm not big on, there's not a sport in America that has no salary cap, no without contracts. I mean, we technically, everybody says, well, you have a 1 year deal. Technically it's a 1 day deal. I mean, every day somebody can leave, every day something can change. And, that part of it is concerning. And I always, this is what I say, Jim, what seems good for a certain percentage of people, I think the majority of these kids in the transfer portal and everything, there's a lot more that are failing than are succeeding, and that's what I worry about. It's not going to affect me. I mean, it's going to affect some guys with their jobs, and you wonder why there's a carousel of coaches changing. And I know some guys out there say, well, coaches can leave and do what they want. But, there's a lot more pressure on coaches now because they figure, you know, we're paying players, but we're really not paying players. We should be able to win. You know, I feel sorry. I know what John went through. Administrations, fan bases jump on you. We have things now where it used to be if you win, people were happy. If you lose, people were mad. Now you have to win by a certain amount of points with the gambling stuff and all that. And so they can be mad at you when you win, you know. So it's a lot different for coaches too. But I decided that I'm going to adjust. I'm going to find a way to adjust. And because I still love what I'm doing. You know, I've talked to a lot of people, Jay Wright, Nick Saban, you know, Magic today, and there's adjustments to be made, and yet I think some people are worried about the direction we're going.
We are talking to Tom Izzo, head basketball coach, Michigan State. Like Tom, you mentioned Jay Wright, and Jay seems like he's in a pretty good spot. Jay seems like he got out at a really good time. Now, to each their own, and Jay seems like he's in a good spot. Like, how would he describe it? Do you think that he would ever consider coming back, or is he loving his life the way it is?
Well, it's unfair of me to say, even though Jay's a friend of mine and we've been on some committees together. He did a game here. We spent some time, and Nick Saban and I started together. I know what he went through, and, we started as assistants here at Michigan State and head coaches. Love Nick. He's the best. And I would say that, do I see those guys getting back in? No, I don't. But that doesn't mean it wouldn't happen. But I just think that the job has changed, Jim. I mean, like, this is a time of year. Usually you're on a little break, you get a little siesta, you go on a little vacation, whatever you could do. And with the transfer portal and everything, I didn't even go to the Final Four first time I missed it 29 years. And because everybody's trying to make sure your own players are right, and if you got to pick up players. And so it's changed it a little bit, but I'm kind of done complaining about it because I was on every committee I could be to try to fight some of it. And, you know, I'd be interested to see what you think of it. I'd be interested to see what people, because some people just talk because they want to be status quo and do this and that. But I think if you're with it on a day-to-day basis, you'd say, man, this is crazy.
Yeah, Mike, if you're asking me what I think, like, you're right. I don't live with it. I don't live with it, right. And to me, it's not. Right. Yeah, I don't have to re-recruit my guys every 24 hours, although they can go too.
There you go. That's a good number. 24 hours.
You know, but I would say, look, I think that the players absolutely should get something. I've long believed that, there need to be some guardrails. I will agree with that. Yeah. I'll give you an example, Tom. For instance, this coaching carousel thing is something else. Like, I do agree. You guys can up and go. So now the players can up and go. But I take Eric Musselman. Muss and I have known each other since we were 23 years of age. We're both 59 right now. I've known Muss a long, long time. I talked to him yesterday, and it's going to air as a podcast later on today. And I'm trying to figure out, to your point, it's not enough just to win. And it's not enough just to win. You got to win a certain way. I'm trying to figure out how a guy that went to Arkansas when Arkansas was down and out, and he leads them to back-to-back Elite Eights and a Sweet 16. What the hell is my guy doing in L.A.? I mean, I'm glad that he's home, but how do you explain something like that? How did that thing turn?
I think people should know, too, that when you say we just get to leave, I mean, 29 years as head coach, I still have a buyout. And there was years when I looked at NBA jobs or something else, I had a $7 to $10 million buyout. So we have buyouts, you know, we have something. I mean, they make it sound like coaches can just do what they want when they want. We can, but there's a price to pay. And maybe the school we go to would pay it. I don't know. But, I'm not as much on the money. I mean, I did think there has to be guardrails because it's out of whack, but the ability to just leave whenever and the money deal has created a system where now we have people just shopping people around, and half of it is during the season, you know, and that's not good for the kids. It's the players. It's really not, but, you know, whatever it is, I'll do what I got to do, and I'll survive. But I think if you were here day to day, you'd feel a lot different. Not that you don't feel different, but I think you'd feel a lot different than you do.
Yeah. You know, I think, I'm not living it myself. I'm not in it. I'm not in it day to day, which Tom Izzo, my guest, which makes it all the more amazing, right, when you look at what Dan Hurley did. Because, Tom, you know how hard it is to win a national championship.
He did a great job.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Given everything you just laid out and the challenges of the job that this guy went back-to-back, what do you make of that?
He's kept his culture. You know, he went in there, and Dan rules with an iron fist. I mean, he's done some things. He's got, you know, he's got the Klingman kid who's from locally there, and I think he's done a great job. But, you know, his dad, I mean, he was brought up right. You know, Irvin just talked about what his dad did for him. Well, Bob Hurley was, you know, one of the greatest high school coaches ever. He's a John Wooden of high school coaches, you know. And so I think Dan was raised right. I think he's handled it right. And remember this, too, you know, like when – I mean, we went to 3 Final Fours in a row. We went twice to 2 Final Fours in a row. Not winning it, but going to them. I mean, you got to be good, and then you got to be a little lucky. And I think they were really good and didn't need as much luck. They were the rare teams. We played Carolina in 2009, and, you know, they beat us by 20 in the championship game. And I thought that was one of the best teams. They didn't need any luck. But I'll bet you most of the time that's not the case. You know, to get through those 6 games, Jimmy, you gotta be good enough, and then you gotta be kind of lucky. But Hurley and Danny, I love what he did. I love some of his comments. Read some of his stuff. You know, he's 51 or something. He calls himself old school because his dad wouldn't let him do it any other way.
Right. Right? Tom Izzo joining us. You know, something else you can relate to, Tom, because you've got that same fire in your gut that he does. People who don't know and don't know the guy, and especially you watch the championship game, you know, you have a lot of people who are casual fans that don't really know the game or don't really watch the game, and they see this guy, man, and he's really animated and he's really intense, and they don't really get it. And then you've got people who do know the game who just don't like it because they don't like it. Can you explain what it's like to be on that sideline in that moment, under that pressure, in those high leverage situations, and try to maintain that emotion? What it's like for a coach?
Yeah, you know, it is funny because, you know, again, I mean, I came here and Urban was already gone, but he used to come back here to work out. He talked about Pat Riley and how crazy he was and the practices and the things that went on. I think of Nick Saban. I think of, you know, the Belichicks of the world. I mean, most people that sustain excellence, you know, maybe John Wooden was a little exception to the rule, although, hell, he made Bill Walton get his hair cut. I mean, if he did that now, we'd probably get sued, you know? I mean, it's a different time. But, you know, that sideline of a, especially when they had all the pressure on him, I thought that's one thing Purdue might be able to do, is if they could keep it close enough, then the pressure goes on Danny for what they did. But I just think of all the coaches I've looked at lately, he did as good a job as any. And he did it the way he wanted to do it. And he does do it with a little bit of fire. He is, I guess, a little old. I don't know what old school means. I mean, it's right school or wrong school, not old school or new school. But whatever he believes, he holds people accountable and got the job done. And I enjoyed watching it.
I did, too. I love the guy. I absolutely love the guy. I love that family. I love that guy. And he rubs me the right way. Tom Izzo joining us. You know, Tom, you mentioned family, his family. Let me ask you about this before you go. Your son, Steve, was on the roster as a grad student after he joined the team as a walk-on in 2019. I'm curious, what was it like to coach him, and how would you describe being able to share this experience in those years with him in that manner?
Well, did you see Danny Hurley's son at the
I
end
did.
Of the game?
Yep.
You know, and my kid was laughing. He says he leads the team in turnovers and he only plays 30 seconds a game. And because Danny always makes him hold the ball at the end. He won't even let him take a shot because he doesn't want to rub anything in. I love that. I love that. And, you know, my son, you know, it was a long story on why he came out. But the biggest reason is, you know, I spent 18 years raising everybody else's kids. And not my own, because my wife did, and thank God for that. But didn't get to spend the time. And you know, Jimmy, the first game when he came as a walk-on, and he wasn't good enough to play here. I mean, everybody knows it. But it was my time, my 5 years to spend with him. And the first game was at Madison Square Garden, I think against Kentucky, in the Tournament of Champions. And I'm sitting on the bench, and I'm looking at him warming up, and I'm saying, man, as a Division II guy myself, but I gave my right and left arm just to warm up, you know? It was the greatest experience. If I was ever a parent, and Danny and I talked about his own son, it's worth it. It's worth every minute. I'm sure it was hard in the locker room. We had a rule, what goes on in the locker room stays in the locker room. Can you imagine how many days those players were mad at the head coach?
Yeah, right.
And his son is sitting right in the locker. But what I loved about my team, they respected him enough that they knew he wasn't going to say nothing. There were even sometimes I said, well, man, maybe I could ask Steven, you know, how the locker room is. But I never did that, and he never gave me any advice. And for that, I truly love him, appreciate him. And it was – I would recommend it to anybody if the opportunity – arise, because so many of us don't get to spend the time from 1 to 18. And so I got from 18 to 23 for him. I got to spend some quality time.
I think that's awesome. I love that anecdote that, man, it couldn't have been easy for him at times to be in that locker room when the other guys were pissed off because coach is going so hard. He's going so hard. So what are you going to do besides go right back to the portal, hang up the phone and get back to work? Any downtime, any free time, what are you going to do in the next couple of weeks?
Well, you know, I got an alum that might take me to the Masters just Saturday morning back.
Okay.
Saturday night.
Now we're talking.
So I might do that. But I'm going to try to get this team better. You know, I love the NCAA tournament. To me, is the greatest show on earth. You know, I'm a big football fan, as you know, Super Bowl is great, but there's something about the NCAA tournament that is special. And I don't want to play in the first weekend or just the second weekend. I'd like to play in the third weekend. And so that'll be the off season. You know, when I'm done, I got a chance someday to take vacations and do things. Right now, I just want to find a way to get my team a little better and spend a little time and try to figure out the portal and try to figure out the new player. I'm talking to a lot of my former players. I'm going to get it straightened out, worked out, and then next year I'm going to talk to you and things are going to be rocking and rolling.
Hell yes. Hell yes. I love that. I love that about you. I've always loved that about you, Tom. You and I, this is not an original idea or an original pack, but you and I, we'll sleep when we're dead.
Exactly. Hey, I love that. And that's why, you know, from way back in the jungle, man, I've always appreciated, you know, you brought up something, you asked about the sideline and demeanor of people. You know, what I always loved about you, when I see you on TV or I hear you on the radio, I can feel the passion through your voice, you know. If people can't show that passion on the sidelines, or if Nick Saban can't and this guy can't and that guy can't, Danny Hurley can't, you know, why would you be good at anything, you know? Anybody that's good at something is passionate about it. That's the way I look at it, and I think of Magic, you know, in those days, and think of Jordan pumping his fist. I mean, there's just some things that champions do and guys that are like that. And so if there's criticism for how we act on the sidelines, bring it on.
Bring it on. Kobe, too, I would add to that. Tom Izzo.
Kobe, great, great line. Kobe, you know, calling out people because they weren't in shape. I mean, yeah, you know, it's not supposed to be done. It's supposed to be done by people that don't like what they do, don't love what they do, but live what they do. And that's what I think we're going to try to do.
It's a lifestyle. It's an identity. Tom Izzo, longtime friend of the program. Me personally, Tom, I appreciate you so much. I appreciate the relationship. I appreciate all the amazing conversations we've had. That's another one right there. So enjoy the Masters. Know they're going to take your phone, my guy, but I know you'll be back at it, and you and I will do it again soon.
Man. I'm enjoying them taking my...
Good.
I'm going to leave it in the plane, man.
Good.
I don't even want it for one 12-hour period.
That's it. But that's the attitude. Exactly. That's
Jimmy,
the best
thanks
part.
Thanks for having me on, and anytime you need me, I'm here for you. I've always appreciated it.
I appreciate you. Tom Izzo joining us, going long form. That was like a conversation, as always, not an interview, but a conversation where a podcast broke out. I can run that as a podcast. My thanks to Tom Izzo. All right, so your thoughts, your reaction to that. That could be either podcast. That could be the Reinvention Project. That could be the Jim Rome podcast. That could be any of the above.